بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim nation from whatever he feared for his nation. With the help of Allah, we finished talking about the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I would like to summarize certain events that took place during the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So I'm gonna call it a timeline of some events before and after immigration. So, about three months before his birth, the father of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, named Abdullah, died while his mother was carrying him. About 50 days before his birth, the event of the elephant took place. And we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this army a loser. They could not destroy Al-Kaaba. On Monday, the 12th of Rabi'unil Awwal, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And some people say that it was the year 571 Western calendar. Short time after his birth, Muhammad alayhi salam was given to an honorable lady, Halima, to nurse him. And she did. After he was returned to his mother, at the age of 6, his mother Amina died, and his grandfather Abdul Muttalib sponsored him. At the age of 8, means we're talking about the age of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At the age of 8, the grandfather Abdul Muttalib died, and his uncle Abu Talib sponsored him. At the age of 12, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam took his first trip to the area of Ash-Sham with his uncle Abu Talib for trading. And there, Bahira, the rahib, recognized him and acknowledged that he was a prophet. Then, at the age of 24, Prophet Muhammad took his second trade trip to the same area of Ash-Sham, Busra, accompanied by Maysara, and he was trading for Lady Khadija radiyallahu anha. At the age of 25, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam married Lady Khadija radiyallahu anha, who gave him 2 sons and 4 daughters. At the age of 35, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam mediated in a dispute among the Arab tribes of who would place the black stone on the Kaaba. And the dispute, of course, ended peacefully by the Prophet himself placing the black stone on the Kaaba. At the age of 40, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the first revelation, the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq. At the age of 43, Allah ordered Prophet Muhammad to make a public call to the tribes in the area. At the age of 45, 46, two waves of Muslims emigrated to Abyssinia, to Al-Habasha or Ethiopia nowadays, and they were in total 95 men and 22 women. The Prophet ordered them to move to that country because they would be safe from the persecution of the pagans of Mecca. At the age of 46, alayhi salatu wassalam, during that year, his uncle Hamza, then Umar ibn Khattab, both embraced Islam in that order. So within the same year, Hamza first, then Umar radiyallahu anhuma, embraced Islam. Now for 3 years, from the age 47 to 49, the pagans of Mecca boycotted the Muslims and confined them in an area of Mecca. They did not talk to them, they did not buy or sell to them, they did not, you know, allow people to interact with them for 3 years. And then that boycott was lifted. At the age of 50, it was a year of sorrow because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam lost two people who used to support him, his uncle Abu Talib, then his dear wife Khadija radiyallahu anha. After Khadija died, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam married Lady Sauda. During that year, means at the age of 50, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam made his visit to At-Ta'if. And then also during that year, means at the age of 50, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam took the trip to Al-Quds and then the ascension, the Mi'raj, to the seven heavens. At the age of 51, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, during his work by offering people to become Muslim, he met some people coming from Yathrib, which becomes Al-Madinah later, and six men made allegiance with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So it's called Bay'atul Aqabati al-Ula, six men from Al-Khazraj, from Al-Ansar. In the following year, when the Prophet was 52 years old, then more men, 12 men came from Al-Madinah and paid another allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as Bay'atul Aqabati al-Thaniya. At the age of 53, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam immigrated to Al-Madinah. So those are some of the important events in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prior to Hijrah, prior to immigrating to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. Now we want to go over some events that took place after the Hijrah. So what we're going to do is our reference will be the year of Hijrah, not the birth of the Prophet. So we're going to say year one, the first year of Hijrah. It is the same year that the Prophet alayhi salam left Mecca to Al-Madinah. We know the Prophet arrived to Al-Madinah on Monday, the 12th of Rabi'un al-Awwal, at the age of 53. So Muharram and Safar and Rabi'un al-Awwal and the whole year is considered the first year of Hijrah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in that first year of Hijrah, he built his mosque, Al-Masjid al-Nabawi. He paired up some immigrants together, Akha bayna al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar. In that same year, the top Jewish scholar, Abdullah ibn Salam, embraced Islam. And in the same year, the first year of Hijrah, the Adhan, the call to prayer, was ordained. Now you remember that the Muslims And at the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam used to pray one time a day. And then during the time of the children of Israel, Allah ordained two prayers. So they were praying two prayers until the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his prophethood. So at the time of Bi'tha, means at the time the Prophet received the revelation, then that praying two, the Muslims praying two times stopped, and the Muslims followers of Muhammad alayhi salam were ordained, were ordered to pray one time a day at night. Then during the night of Al-Mi'raj, five obligatory prayers were prescribed, and the Muslims since that time are praying five times a day. So Al-Adhan was ordained, so the people were praying without calling to prayer. Then during the first year of Hijrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the issue of Al-Adhan, to call out for prayer. Now the Muslims used to pray in Mecca towards Al-Kaaba. Then when they went to Al-Madina, then they were ordered to change to pray towards Jerusalem, Al-Quds. And they prayed for 17 months. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Muslims later, after 17 months, to, means a year and a half almost, so to pray back to the direction of Al-Kaaba. So in the second year of Hijrah, the order to pray back towards Al-Kaaba was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also during the second year of Hijrah, the ordainment to fast Ramadan came down. So Muslims started fasting the month of Ramadan during the second Hijri year, which means after 12 years of, after 15 years of Bi'atha. And then also during the second year of Hijrah, Zakatul Fitr was ordained in the same year that Ramadan's fasting was ordained. In the Ramadan was ordained in Sha'ban and Zakatul Fitr later, but in the same year. Also during the second year, the major battle of Badr took place, in which the Muslims, you know, achieved a big victory over the pagan of Mecca. During that second year, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam consummated his marriage to Lady Aisha. Also during that year, Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet, married Lady Fatima, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And during the second year of Hijrah, the battle of Banu Qaynuqa' or Qaynaqa' took place. During the third year, the battle of Uhud took place. Remember, Badr took place in Ramadan of the second year. Uhud took place during the Shawwal of the third year. So almost, you know, a year, over a year between the two battles. Then the battle of Banu Nadir took place. Allah also during the third year of Hijrah ordained, revealed to Prophet Muhammad the prohibition to drink wine until the Day of Judgment. Also during this third year, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam married two ladies, Lady Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab, and he married Lady Zainab al-Hilaliya. During this same third year, Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan married Lady Kulthum. So he had been married to Ruqayya. After Ruqayya died, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave another daughter of his to Uthman radiyallahu anhu. So Uthman married Lady Kulthum during the third year of Hijrah. During the fourth year of Hijrah, the battle of Al-Khandaq, the trench, or Ghazwatul Ahzab, the battle of the factions, the allied factions, took place. And we learned that they went back defeated without much fighting. Also during the fourth year, Ayatul Hijab was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the women were ordered to cover their bodies with the exception of their faces and their hands. The prayer of the traveler, when a person is traveling a certain distance, then the revelation to shorten that prayer from 4 rak'ahs to 2 rak'ahs was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you could see the Prophet lived 13 years in Mecca after his prophethood, and then here is the 4th year of Hijrah, so 13 plus 4. For after 17 years of Muslims praying, the followers of Muhammad alayhi salam, then the shortening of the traveler's prayer, you know, was revealed. Also during this 4th year of Hijrah, the tayammum was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At tayammum was ordained, a person who does not find water or cannot use water could make tayammum with soil, with specific conditions, instead of wudu. Also, during this 4th year of Hijrah, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam married 2 ladies, Salama and Zainab bin Jahsh, one of his relatives. So this was the 4th Hijri year. The 5th Hijri year, in it the battle of Dhatur Riqa' took place. Dhatur Riqa' is a battle in which the companions did not have enough shoes, and they would just put patches, some material on their feet, using them as shoes or to protect their feet from the hot soil, the hot sand of the desert. Some of these we do not go over, you know, in our seerah, but those are important events. Inshallah, we may go over them different place. Also, Salatul Khawf, prayer of fear, was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the Muslims were in contact with the enemy, so how would they pray? Do they pray the normal way, where the enemy is just, you know, at a distance from them, or do they have different way of praying? And this prayer of fear, or Salat al-Khawf, specifies how the Muslims are to change the way they pray because of the situation. Also, the battle of Dumatul Jandal took place, the battle of Banu Qurayza, we went over this, slander of Aisha, where some people unjustly accused Aisha of committing zina, and Allah cleared her in the Quran. And during this 5th year, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam married Raihana and Juwayriya. During the 6th Hijri year, the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah was ratified between the Muslims and the people of Mecca, where 10 years of peace were supposed to take place, and other conditions that we went in some details before. And because of the delay of return of Uthman, then the Muslims had a pledge or allegiance with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, called Bay'atul Ridwan, Ridwan pledge. The battle of Banu al-Mustaliq took place, the ordainment of the Dhihar ruling came down on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah al-Mujadala, as you already know. And also the battle of Banu Lihyan took place during the 6th Hijri year. During the 7th Hijri year, the Battle of Khaybar, the important battle that, you know, defeated the Jewish tribes at that time, you know, with a final point that after that they could not, you know, have any military power, took place. And the prohibition of consuming donkeys and conducting temporary marriage was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith, naha al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an zawaj al-mut'a wa aklu luhum al-humur al-ahliyya. Al-Imam Ali narrated this hadith that Allah forbade for people to eat donkeys, and also forbade for people to have marriage contracts that have time limits for a person to say, I marry you for 2 months or for 2 days. So that marriage that has time limit is prohibited. And Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said that هو الزنا بعينه. He said such a temporary marriage, ما يسمى زواج المتعة. He said هو الزنا بعينه. It is fornication or adultery by itself. Then during the 7th Hijri year, also the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام married 3 ladies, حبيبة, ميمونة, and صفية. You know, after Khaybar, Safiya became Muslim and the Prophet married her. Also, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was gifted during the 7th Hijri year a lady, Maria, from Egypt, and a mule called Duldul. The Egyptian ruler did not become Muslim, but he sent back these two gifts to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a female slave, Maria, and a mule called Duldul. The Muslims who went to Abyssinia, remember we said they went in two waves. These Muslims were ordered by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to return to Arabia, and they came. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, the great companion, converted to Islam during the 7th Hijri year. And during that year, the Prophet sent letters to rulers of the area, the Bahrain kings and the Egyptian and the Roman emperor and the ruler of Persia and other people that we talked about also. During the 8th year of Hijrah, the Battle of Mu'tah took place, in which those 3 great leaders were martyred. And then later, the opening of Mecca took place during Ramadan. Mecca was opened without much fighting. Later, Ibrahim, the son of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, from Lady Maria, was born. And all the sons who came from Khadija had died earlier, and all the daughters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, would die before him, except Fatima, who would outlive him, lives 6 months after him. So this boy is born during the 8th Hijri year. His daughter Zainab dies during the 8th Hijri year. We know that Lady Ruqayya had died in the 2nd Hijri year. The Battle of Hunayn and At-Ta'if took place. Hunayn, as you remember, it was a very decisive battle against the large tribe of Hawazin and also Thaqif. The building of the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place. Remember, the Prophet used to lean on a palm tree trunk when he spoke, addressed the Muslims. Then they built a minbar for him. And then the trunk mourned in longing for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he started addressing people away from it, and the Prophet calmed it down. That was one of the miracles of the Prophet that took place during the 8th Hijri year. In the 9th Hijri year, the Battle of Tabuk took place. The great companion Abu Bakr was ordered by the Prophet to lead the Hajj. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam demolished a mosque that was built by the hypocrites with the intention to divide the Muslims into groups. The lady, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Lady Kulthum, the second wife of Uthman, died. Kulthum, of course, is the daughter of the Prophet. So you already have Al-Qasim and Abdullah died in Mecca, and then Ruqayya during the 2nd Hijri year, and then you have Zainab, and then Kulthum. So, An-Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, who became Muslim, died during the 9th Hijri year. During the 10th Hijri year, The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام performed the farewell pilgrimage, Hajjatul Wada, in which he gave that speech that we took some excerpts from and explained. During this 10th year of Hijrah, his son Ibrahim, who was born in the 9th year of Hijrah, of the 8th year of Hijrah, died. He's just like a year and a half. He died. And then during the 11th Hijri year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died on Monday, the 12th of Rabi'un al-Awwal, at the age of 60 lunar years. So these were some glimpses of some events that took place during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we divided them as events before the Hijrah and events after the Hijrah. Now, what we want to do is to give a description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, physical descriptions as well as, you know, behavior or manners. If you remember, when we went over the life story of the Prophet alayhi salam, we said on his way to Al-Madina, he passed by the tent of a Bedouin woman called Ma'bad. And some miracle took place there. And then when they left, she described the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to her husband. So I'm going to just go in more details about it than I did previously. So there is a book authored by a scholar called Ibn Sayyid al-Nas, and the book is called Uyunul Athar fil Maghazi was-Siyar. So in this book, Uyunul Athar, Ibn Sayyid al-Nas, he mentioned the following. He said, while immigrating to Medina, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accompanied by Abu Bakr, as we already know, Amir ibn Fuhayrah, who was the slave of Abu Bakr, and a man called Ibn Urayqit. And this man was not a Muslim, but he acted as a guide to the Prophet and his companions to the way to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So they passed by Ma'bad from the tribe of Khuza'ah. That's why they call her Ma'bad Al-Khuza'iyah. And she did not know them. The Prophet said to her, O Ma'bad, do you have milk? She said, no, by Allah. He then saw a female sheep, the Prophet saw at the end of the house, a female sheep, and he asked Ma'bad about this sheep. She said that it was an old sheep, that she does not give any milk. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took the permission of Ma'bad, and then he placed his honorable hands on the back of the sheep and on the other of the sheep. And then he asked for a container. So a container made of rock was brought to the Prophet. The Prophet alayhi salam milked the sheep and filled the container. Then he gave the milk to his companions. They drank. And then he milked the sheep again to fill the container and gave the milk, that container full of milk, to the lady Ma'bad, the owner of that sheep. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with his companions left that area. Later, upon his return, Ma'bad's husband asked her, O Ma'bad, what is this milk when there is no milking sheep in the house and the rest of the sheep were away? It means, I know that we have sheep, but all of the sheep are there. We have only one sheep which is in the house and it doesn't give milk. So where did you get this milk from? So she said, by Allah, means it has nothing to do with, you know, there is nothing wrong. She said, by Allah, however, so she wanted to tell him what happened. There passed by us, she said, La wallah, innahu marra bina. And now she starts describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Rajulun zahirul wada'ah. Yani, indahu husn wa nadafa. Zahirul husni wa nadafa. A man with obvious beauty and cleanliness. Abilajul wajh. She mentions 30 points about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first point was, Rajulun zahirul wada'ah. يعني رجل ظاهر الحسن والنظافة. A man with obvious beauty and cleanliness. أبلج الوجه مشرق الوجه مضيئه. It means he had a glowing countenance. His face was glowing. حسن الخلق أو الخلق. And had a good appearance and a good disposition, manners. لم تعبه ثجله يعني ليس لم يكن بطنه عظيم مسترخي بل صدره وبطنه مستويان. She said with no bulging stomach disgracing him. ولم تزر به صعله. الصعله صغر الرأس يعني لم يكن رأسه صغيرا. And she said so with no bulging stomach disgracing him or a small head disparaging him. It means a person could not say that he had so small head that people talk against him. His head was not small. Wasim, يعني مشهور جماله. جماله صار سمة له. And she said, is overtly handsome, clearly beautiful. قسيم, يعني كل موضع من جسم الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام فيه جمال. كله فيه قسم من الجمال. So she said he is overtly, openly, beautiful, handsome, and wholly, all of him is beautiful. And wholly beautiful. في عينيه دعج. يعني عيناه السواد شديد. الأسود من عينيه شديد السواد. والبياض شديد البياض وعيناه واسعة. She said his eyes are wide and very white and black. So there are parts of his eyes that are white, so they are very white, and the parts of his eyes that are black are very black, and there are wide eyes. وفي أشفاره وطف يعني أشفاره جفونه كانت طويلة. And she said, and his eyelashes are long. وفي صوته صحل يعني شبه البحة. And she said, whose voice is devoid of hoarseness. So his voice is not harsh, is not hoarse. وفي عنقه سطع يعني عنقه طويلة ومرتفعة. And she said his neck is long. وفي لحيته كثافة يعني كثافة. And his beard is full. أحور بالراء. أحور يعني اشتد بياض عينيه. اشتد بياض بياض عينيه واشتد سواد سوادهما. The white part of whose eyes is extremely white, and the black part of whose eyes is extremely black. أكحل يعني سودت أجفانه خلقة. She said, as if his eyelids have كحل naturally. So he didn't need to put some black stuff around his eyelids. They are like that naturally by birth. أزج يعني مقوس الحاجبين ودقيقان الحاجبان ممتدان كأنهما متصلان لكنهما ليسا متصلين كما تذكر. أقرن مقرون الحاجبين، الحاجبان يصلان كأنهما متصلين لكنهما لا يصلان إلى بعضهما الآخر. As if his eyelids have kuhl naturally, whose eyebrows arch, they curve longitudinally and thinly. They are long and thin. As if they meet. So they come as if they are together, but they are not. They're close to be to each other. شديد سواد الشعر, who has an extremely black hair. إذا صمت علاه الوقار, who is stately when silent. Who is stately, is respected when he is silent. Means when you look at him and he's not talking, you feel that you have to revere him, to respect him. Who is stately when silent. وإذا تكلم علاه البهاء, يعني لما يكون ساكتا عليه الرزانة والوقار, لما يتكلم عليه الجمال والعظمة. And so who is stately when silent and is gorgeous when speaking. Barakallahu fik. And is gorgeous when speaking. أجمل الناس وأبهاه من بعيد وأحسنه وأحلاه من قريب. أجمل الناس وأبهاه من بعيد وأحسنه وأحلاه من قريب. So the 20th point now is, who is the most beautiful and striking man from far, and the best and most beautiful from close. حلو المنطق فصل, يعني كلامه واضح ويفصل بين الحق والباطل. She said, whose speech is sweet, clear and decisive. لا نزر بالزاي, لا نزر ولا هذر بالذال. لا نزر ولا هذر, يعني كلامه ليس قليلا بحيث يدل على أنه لا يستطيع الكلام, ولا كثير فاسد ليس فيه حق, يعني لا قليل غير مفهوم ولا كثير ممل. So she said, whose speech is sweet, clear and decisive, neither vaguely short, his words are neither vaguely short, nor boringly and pointlessly long. So it's not long such that it makes it boring and has no point in it, no benefit from what he says. And it's not too short so that people don't understand him. So it is in between. كأن منطقه خرزات نظم يتحدر, يعني كلامه محكم بليغ. She said in the 23rd point, whose words flow forth like a perfect string of pearls. Whose words flow forward like a perfect string of pearls. It means his words are not at random. They are organized and beneficial. رابعة, يعني هو مربوع الخلقة, ليس بالطويل ولا القصير. She said, of medium height. Means he is neither short nor tall, very tall. لا تقتحمه عين من قصر, يعني لا تزدريه أي عين, لأنه قصير, لأنه ليس بقصير. فإذا لا تزدريه عين لقصره فتجاوزه إلى غيره, بل تهابه وتقبله وتعظمه. ولا تشنأه من طول, فإذا لا تزدريه, لا تحتقره, تحتقره العين من قصر لأنه ليس بقصير. ولا تشنأه من طول, يعني لا يبغض الرسول لفرط طوله, لا يقال طويل فيكره من أجل ذلك. لا يستهزأ به لأنه قصير, ولا يبغض لأنه شديد الطول, بل هو رابعة كما قالت. She said, so he is of medium height, that neither elicits contempt to avert him for shortness, so people would not avoid the Prophet because he's too short, nor aversion. He does not elicit, does not bring up in the hearts of people, does not bring aversion. People would not try to avoid him for excessive tallness. So people would not say, he's too tall, let's just avoid him. So they don't, you know, show contempt to the Prophet because he's not too short. And they do not show any avoidance of the Prophet. They don't see any, show any aversion because of his excessive tallness. So he's neither too short nor too tall. She said, غُصْنٌ بَيْنَ غُصْنَيْنِ فَهُوَ أَنْضَرُ الثَّلَاثَةِ مَنْضَرًا وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ قَدِرًا. She said, he is a branch between two branches. He is the most radiant of the three and the most well-respected. She means he had his companions with him, and he was the most apparent among them, the most radiant among his companions, and the most well-respected. لَهُ رُفَقَاءُ يَحُفُّونَ بِهِ إِذَا قَالَ اسْتَمَعُوا لِقَوْلِهِ وَإِذَا أَمَرْ تَبَادَرُوا إِلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. So in the 27th point, she says, whose companions surround him. So he had those people with him, so they surrounded him. When he speaks, they listen attentively to his speech. And when he commands, gives an order, they vie, they compete with each other to fulfill his commands. محفود أي مخدوم. محشود الناس تستمع حوله ليمتثلوا قوله ويقتدوا بأفعاله. She said, who is well served, people go around him, just want to serve him, and attended, people want to be around him to listen to him and follow his orders. لا عابس يعني ليس ملقاه كريها ليس جهم المحيا. She said, who is neither a scowler, it means he does not frown at people. People do not like, feel distracted from him because of frowning. He does not do that. ولا مفند ليس يعني في كلامه عدم فائدة. الرسول لا يتكلم بغير فائدة. كذلك ليس في كلامه غير فائدة لا لكبر أصابه ولا لقلة عقله. She said, who is neither a scowler, he does not frown against the people, nor a prattler, he doesn't just tattle, doesn't talk, you know, at random without any benefit. He doesn't just open his mouth and just spit words. He speaks with benefit. So she mentioned all of those 30 points. And for a lady who did not go to college, who is a Bedouin, who met with the Prophet for a short time, he did not live for days with her, he's just for time on his way to Al-Madinah, to give such a detailed, you know, eloquent description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is something which is, you know, admirable. Something which shows her, you know, intelligence and being attentive, observant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She mentioned his eyes, his height, and how the people come around him and how he speaks. And of course, she told her husband about the miracle that took place at her place. Now, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is also described by companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Huraira did, and Anas and other companions would tell you certain things that agree, means with the points that Umm Ma'bad brought up about the Prophet. And then they would give you also extra things. For example, كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسَ فِي وَجِهِ. One of the companions said, He is, the Prophet is glowing as if the sun is in his face. Means as if the sun is coming out of him and he's glowing, giving light out, he's radiant. So these are descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we mentioned this, these descriptions of the Prophet with a purpose. Alayhi salatu wa salam in the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, the Prophet said different hadiths all carry the same meanings with some extra in one version than the other. But among what he said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said, مَنْ رَآنِي فِي الْمَنَامِ فَقَدْ رَآنِي فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فَقَدْ رَأَى الْحَقَّ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ مَنْ رَآنِي فِي النَّوْمِ فَقَدْ رَآنِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ يَتَشَبَّهَ بِي. And there are other versions of the hadith. مَنْ رَآنِي فِي الْمَنَامِ فَسَيَرَانِي فِي الْيَقَظَةِ وَلَا يَتَمَثَّلُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِي لَا يَتَخَيَّلُ بِي. In another riwayah, فَقَدْ رَأَى الْحَقِّ. So, to summarize the meanings included in all of these versions, we just say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different kinds of creation. Among these creations, humans and angels and jinn. Those are the creations that have minds. They have the intellect. The angels, we said, never disobey Allah. They're always obedient to Allah. They don't feel tired. They don't need to eat. They're neither males nor females. And we said the humans and the jinn, they have, some of them are males and some of them are females. They have offspring, they have children that come from them. They need to eat, they need to drink, they need air. So they have these needs that they have. Now, the angels can change their forms. They can go from their original form into a form of a human, for example. And you know, in two incidents, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that Angel Jibreel came in the form of a huge camel, which threatened Abu Jahl, if you remember. And the Prophet mentioned that Jibreel came at more than one time in the shape of one of his companions, Dihya al-Kalbi. One of the companions was very handsome. So Jibreel would come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sometimes in the form of that companion, that human companion. And if you remember, he came one time and asked very basic questions about Islam, Hadith Jibreel. The jinn are like angels in that respect. They can change their forms. They were created, as you know, from the smokeless fire. And the angels were created from light. So to do different, essences. So the jinn were created from smokeless fire, and they are thin, their bodies are thin. They can see us, but we cannot see them. Just also the angels, they can see us, but we cannot see them. But, so these jinn, some of them are Muslim, some of them are not Muslim. We said the non-Muslim jinn, we call them shaitan each, or shayateen in plural. Now, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever sees me in the dream, then he really has seen me. Because a shaitan cannot take my form, cannot take my shape, cannot come in my shape or my form. So when a person is asleep, a shaitan may come to the person in different forms, a snake and different things. But a shaitan cannot come in the form of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the person who wakes up believing that he had seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the dream, then it means that he has seen Prophet Muhammad. It could not be, a trick from الشيطان. الشيطان cannot trick a person by coming in the form of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet said, whoever seen me in the dream, he has really seen me. الشيطان doesn't take my form. Now الشيطان may say to the person who's asleep, he may call him, claiming himself to be the Prophet. He may just make sounds and so on, but claiming to be the Prophet, but he cannot take the shape of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, the scholars have agreed, there is no difference among the scholars, that whoever sees Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his real shape, the descriptions that we talked about, so he sees the Prophet as is, with all those features that we mentioned, and of course mentioned in other hadith, then without a doubt that this person has good news of dying as a believer. So this person would die as a Muslim. So the good news that are given to this person who saw the Prophet in his real form, that he or she would die as a believer. It doesn't say that he would die as a scholar. It doesn't say that he will die as a righteous Muslim. It says that he ends as a Muslim. This is the good news that were given. And this is in the hadith, okay? Now, different scholars may say different things, but they agreed that whoever sees the Prophet in his real form, he has the good news of dying as a believer. Now, some people may see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in other than his real form. They may see him without a beard, for example. But the Prophet, we said, he has a thick beard. They may see him younger. They may see him older. They may see him, you know, one of my friends told me, he saw him, you know, driving a car. The Prophet never drove a car. So he may see the Prophet in different than his what he was really. They said, some scholars said, such a person does not have the same good news as the one who saw the Prophet in his real shape or his form. Most scholars said, also this person has the same good news that he will die as a believer. So, here is a difference. The majority of the scholars said such a person has the same good news as the one who saw the Prophet in his real form. The minority of the scholars said, no, he doesn't have the same, you know, good news. He has good news, but not that he's gonna die as a believer. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it was conveyed to us, and we may Allah make us sincere in doing so, in learning the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in also spreading these teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And may Allah make us among the pious Muslims who see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dreams tonight and every night. There is a section of the hadith, فَتْزَيَرَانِ فِي الْيَقَضَى. It means the righteous people would be able to see the Prophet while they are awake. And this could happen if they are very highly ranked. It could be while they are healthy, they would be able to see the Prophet, although they are away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or while they are dying at the end of their life, also they would be able to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those are the righteous Muslims. And it is not impossible. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as well as all the other prophets, are alive in their graves. They're living a different type of life that doesn't need food and so on. They are praying and worshiping Allah in a manner different from the manner in this life. And Allah has the power to make a person who is in for example, Cairo in Egypt, to see the Prophet who is in Al-Madinah in his grave, just to remove all these barriers, and this Muslim would be able to see the Prophet in his grave as he is fresh and beautiful and alive. Allah has the power to do that. The Prophet doesn't have to come out of his grave to meet this person. The person could see him while he is in grave. Allah would remove all these barriers between this righteous Muslim and the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the grave. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And Allah knows best. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله فيكم.